Good morning, everybody. Say again for Jason Martin. My name is Mike Keith, joined by Ramon Foster. 615-737-1045. J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone on a Monday morning.
Morning.
Big man, it is good to see you.
It is good to see you. First time meeting you in person.
Isn't that wild?
That is, to think we've worked together before.
We've worked together quite a bit.
Numerous times.
Numerous times.
And this is my first, what? It's got to be 7-8 months after we first spoke.
I think that's right.
Longer?
I think that's right. We've started doing things together for the official Titans podcast, yeah. the OTP, which is, by the way, we'd love for you to subscribe to the OTP wherever you get your podcast.
Watch me do it right now.
Thank you very much. I get $5 every time you do, so I really appreciate that. That's it. Amy Wells gets 10, but that's another story.
You know what? We got to push your leverage.
We really do. But the point is, we have started to be able to do the podcast tapings together again.
Yeah.
Socially distant. Thank you. Socially distant at Nissan Stadium.
Wow.
with our friend Ashley Farrell, who runs our show. And it is so nice to be back having a conversation where you can look at the person, yes, and get the reaction.
You know what? When they told me that you were going to come in, first, no disrespect to everybody else that's filled in for Jason, but I was just like, Mikey, really? He said yes? Like, I was excited, okay? And because it gives me one to do a show with a guy like you who's a legend, although I botched, okay, Music City Musical, okay?
Still my favorite.
Still your favorite. But, of course, you being the man behind the call and just – your lineage, the time you've had in this, the respect factor. I was just like, Moan, don't mess this up.
Oh, you're good.
Do not mess this up. And then I told you this morning, too. First thing I said to you is I was bringing in my coffee this morning for the building. It's like I tried to beat you in. Well, my people at Starbucks just had me a little late this morning. And I was just like, I got to be there. I got to be professional.
You did great.
I appreciate
you
it.
You did,
man.
Great.
I appreciate that. And
our program brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. When trust matters, you can count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Professional garage door installation and repair from a family-owned and operated business. Visit allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville to learn more. Mm-hmm. I guess where we are right now is we're in that holding zone, as we're 10 days before the draft now.
We are.
And Dave McGinnis is going to be on at 8:20.
Beautiful.
And I'm looking forward to talking with Coach Mack about what goes on with teams right now. Because even in this year where things have been delayed, I would imagine 99% of the boards are set, wouldn't you?
They are. You would think so. There's, depending on what comes out, I'm sure more guys got to do more medical. That's usually the biggest thing. And that's a different conversation because all of that would have been done in Indianapolis.
Right.
But, of course, they had a different method of doing it this year. I think it was 150 guys that were invited to do their medical. Some guys, I'm sure, had to do it twice, multiple times. And some teams have follow-ups at their universities. A guy I'm hoping whose medical went fine was our guy, Trey Smith. I'm hoping this guy's prospect of is through the roof, okay? But as far as anything crazy coming up, I think, of course, you know, teams do their due diligence, especially with the first round. The Thursday night is the biggest night. And you say Friday night also because the twos and threes, the way I've always been, you know, been told how it works is the first rounders, especially the first 20, all first rounders, supposed to get you 5 years second contract. That's usually how you want it to be. Those are your team builders, okay? If you got a team full of first rounders, that means you've done a really good job of building and developing, okay? Second and third rounder guys are guys that are supposed to get at least four. Depending on how well they perform, their second contract guys, or they outplay themselves and go to other teams. 4 through 7, you get about 3 to 4 years out of them, and then you move on from there. So these draft boards are where they want. The amount of time that coaches and GMs and front office teams, scouting departments have to break these guys down, it's got to be set. All the small school guys, NAIA, all the schools that you can think of, they're on these boards too.
Well, remember, you didn't see the majority of the small school guys in the fall of 2020 because the majority of them did not play.
That's so true.
And there are so many guys in this draft, whether they be small school, big school, top five prospects,
yes,
who did not play. Trey Lance, the quarterback from North Dakota State, played one game.
How? I know.
One game.
And yeah. Yeah, and that's, of course, I'm sure he's had more meetings. Did he have a second workout?
He's getting ready to have another one that San Francisco is supposedly going to run. And San Francisco has the number three pick.
Yes. That is a pick. They made a move that kind of, I don't want to say put them in a box, but as much as they gave up to move up to number three, it lets you also know this. They tried to play court and said, doesn't mean we're getting a quarterback. They got Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. Okay, whatever. You knew for a fact, if you move up that much and give up, what was it, two first rounds in the second, you're getting a quarterback.
Got you.
This is a franchise pick. And the thing that they got to deal with in this position, do you get Justin Fields, Mac Jones, or Trey Lance, who's having another pro day today? Again, small school guy, though, right?
He's a smaller school guy, but remember, he did not play his first year. In 2018, he redshirted.
Yeah.
In 2019, he started 16 games and went off.
Yeah.
Crazy good.
Yes.
And then played one game last fall, a one-off game, and he was 14 of 28 passing. And then he ran well, and he's a multi-purpose quarterback.
Which is huge.
But he's not projected as a day one starter because he doesn't have a ton of seasoning. There are some people who feel like he's the best athlete in the entire group, and that includes Justin Fields. And that's crazy talk because Justin Fields is a great athlete.
He is. So we were having this conversation. We might have to dive in and after the break because it's a broad conversation to be had about the perspective five guys or the potential five guys, meaning quarterbacks, being drafted in the first round. The last time this happened was 2018. Those five quarterbacks were Baker Mayfield,
Good pick. Sam Darnold.
We
don't know yet.
Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen.
We know.
Was number 10 overall. Okay. Josh Allen.
Yeah, pretty good.
And Lamar Jackson.
Pretty fair, too.
Fair.
But the whole thing about a quarterback is they have to project in your system.
Yes.
That's the key in all of this. Listen, Trevor Lawrence projects in whatever system Jacksonville's going to have him in.
They have to.
Yep.
They have to. Because, again, when you have the number one overall pick, on what everybody's saying is they sure cannot miss pick in Trevor Lawrence. There's other teams that are in this position, too, I think hold just as much pressure. And that's two and three also. That's Jets. And again, the 49ers, who not only got the number three pick, they paid for the number three pick.
Big.
Big time.
Big.
And it's the quarterback position, man. You know, like anybody, you've seen some greats here in Nashville. You've seen some greats across the league. Just in general, we watch kids cultivate themselves into legends. I mean, Peyton Manning. He was as Trevor Lawrence as anybody ever was, okay?
But I covered that.
Yeah.
I covered that, yeah. And Indianapolis was not sure about him until late in the process.
Wow.
They can say what they want right now, but they liked Ryan Leaf's upside a lot of analysts, a lot of smart people thought Ryan Leaf physically was a better prospect.
Wow. I know it's in hindsight, of course.
I know
it's in hindsight. But you got to just look at it and be like, it's Peyton. He's played big-time ball. And, yeah, you got to give it to Ryan Leaf, too. But just you felt like, and I'm sure David Cutcliffe at the time, was still building up his reputation as a guy that's a quarterback whisperer before we started calling these coaches quarterback whisperers now, okay? Well, these OCs. But how was Peyton not a surefire number one pick right then?
Well, the funny thing is when he decided to come back for the 97 season, the Jets were going to take him number one. Bill Parcells wanted Peyton Manning. By the time you got to 98 and the Colts had the number one pick, Ryan Leaf had this amazing year where he was also a Heisman finalist. And he had this incredible year at Washington State.
Yep.
He's bigger. Mm-hmm. He has a better arm. He throws more spirals, whatever you want to say.
He's hot.
And he was hot. And I'll tell you, I wrote I rode up the elevator with both he and Randy Moss at the Downtown Athletic Club in December 1998, the night Charles Woodson won the Heisman Trophy.
Wow, yeah.
And I'll tell you, Ryan Leaf was a big dude.
You knew it was
He
him.
Was a big dude. He was bigger than Randy Moss.
Okay.
He was bigger than Peyton Manning. He was certainly bigger than Charles Woodson. But, I mean, he was a massive 250-pound man.
Yeah.
And from the from the look test.
Right. He passed.
He passed.
Check mark every
Everything.
Single list.
And turned out to be one of the greatest busts in the history of the world. I saw one of his only wins as a starting quarterback here at Vanderbilt against the Tennessee Oilers when they beat the Oilers in the first official professional football game in Nashville. An exciting 13-7 thriller.
13-7.
It was so bad. It was about 175 degrees.
And I know, like, defenses were had a different concentration back then.
Yes.
13-7.
Yes, it wasn't great. It was not a great debut for professional football. When we come back, I want to talk more quarterbacks because I want to read the comments from Sports Illustrated from Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, yes.
And I want to know, Ramon Foster, I want to know from you, are we making too much out of this? And the second part of that, are NFL teams making anything out of it? A lot more to come. Hopefully your calls as well. 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045. Brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. This is J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone. No, it's not Les Grossman. It's Mike Keith and Ramon Foster. J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone. This is your flagship station for Titans Radio. You know, we don't say Titans Radio Network. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know that.
We don't say Titans, yeah. Because when we started back in the 90s, there was this thing called Pirate Radio. Pirate Radio. And Larry Stone and I both like that. And so to differentiate ourselves, we kind of swiped it. And made it Titans Radio. And so we still have that to this day. Nearly a quarter century later.
You know what?
It ripping works. Off the best in the business. Yes, we are Titans Radio.
If it works, it works.
Well, we were trying to differentiate because there was the Vol Radio Network.
Yeah, well.
The Commodore Radio Network. There were all these.
Networks.
Well, they called themselves that.
Yeah.
Titans Radio.
Titans Radio. I like
this.
Yes.
Well, it's served us pretty well so far.
Of course.
All right. J. Martin Ramon. I'm Mike Keith sitting in for Jason Martin. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking in the last segment about where we are in this draft and the evaluations and that Trey Lance has a workout. The North Dakota State quarterback's workout has been scripted by the San Francisco 49ers, who have the third pick and could select him.
Of course, yeah.
The unquestioned number one pick in the draft is Trevor Lawrence, 21-year-old Trevor Lawrence, who just a few days ago got married.
Yes.
His high school sweetheart, Marissa. And this is a young man, again, just 21 years old, much like a situation that you find with Matthew Stafford, who's been in the league since I think Otto Graham played, and he's still just 33 because he got to Georgia early and then he got to the NFL early. This is a player in Trevor Lawrence who has a chance to, I mean, he played 20 years and still just be 40 years old.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
Crazy, man.
Go ahead.
But that's one thing that coaches do love, though, too. It's the 20-year-olds.
Love the young guys.
Because if you – except for last year.
Okay? Well, you love the young guys. Yeah, it's funny because when I started covering college football, everybody redshirted.
Yeah.
So every pro prospect was 23 years old.
This guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. This 22, 23 years old. Yes, 100%.
And now they're 20. Some of them are barely 20.
You know, as we go into, like, we're getting to these Trevor Lawrence comments, but, of course, there's a lot to unpack with how the game has changed. You talk about being redshirted. It was almost like automatic.
Automatic.
That you were going to be redshirted. Only I came in 2004 at the University of Tennessee. Majority of our class redshirted. Gerard Mayhill didn't. I mean, it was clear to see. He didn't. Inky didn't. No. Inky did that year because he was small coming out. But majority of our class, a guy, Chris Brown, didn't. It was just guys that was ready to play at a position. Chris Brown came in as a tight end. He was playing the H-back, ready to go. Gerard, dynamic, okay? You knew he was going to be a guy just from the day he walked on campus. Smart, you knew he was intellectual, you knew he was an athlete, all of those things. It was a bunch of guys that redshirted that went on to play in the NFL too, but the two quarterbacks, Eric Ainge, Brent Schaefer, did not redshirt, okay? It was just interesting to watch the change of, we got to get these kids to a position where they're physically ready to play football. And now it's like a bunch of kids are already at that point. Now, you mentioned like the redshirt aspect of it. Like Devin, a guy that I play with, Devin Bush, he did not redshirt. If you look at him, he looks like an undersized linebacker that played for the team I played for in Pittsburgh. And now it's to a point to where he was just ready to make it into the NFL. There's a bunch of guys that you'd rather get them in and get them out as quick as you can because their talent supersedes everything else around them. And that's, again, what I'm sure John Robinson and the front office thought about this guy, Isaiah, or at least to a point, if we get him around a bunch of adults, we put him in a system, in a room, in an environment that says, hey, look, do as these guys are doing because they're adults already. They know how to handle the ins and outs of the business. You're going to flourish a whole lot faster. That's the concept of drafting 20-year-olds, as you said. It's the fact that if you get them in, they're smart enough and the talent shows itself. You got him for, as you said, 20 years. And in 20 years, you're just 40.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing.
Tom is 21 years in. He was 46, 47.
Tom is almost 44.
44. I was giving him way more
credit. You're giving him way more credit.
It looked like he's been around that long.
But Trevor Lawrence, married guy.
Yeah.
Fully formed guy who's played a ton of football. Cartersville, Georgia, was a prodigy. At 15, you knew that he was going to be special. Goes to Clemson. Wins the starting job 4 games into the season, beats out an established guy. Yeah. And that's one thing that you have to give Dabo Swinney credit for, is 4 games into that season, he said, I know he's not in the pecking order, but he's better. We have to play him. And so he's been the starter at Clemson ever since. 3 college football playoffs, 3 ACC championships, a national championship. I mean, he's been on the stage and played fantastic competition.
Yes.
Going to be the number one pick in the draft. Mentioned he's already a married guy.
Yeah.
Does an interview with Michael Rosenberg from Sports Illustrated. And Trevor Lawrence is very comfortable with who he is and is a very religious young man, very devout in his beliefs, very, like I said,
low tone, reassuring type of guy.
Not a guy who doesn't seem to care, just a guy who is very confident in who he is and not bothered. So he makes these comments, and I'm just going to pull a few of them, and they're admittedly out of context, but this is how some people have heard them. It's not like I need this, meaning football, for my life to be okay. I don't have a huge chip on my shoulder.
It was that part, yeah.
And then the final one. And again, these are being pulled out of context.
Of course, yeah.
And we'll certainly take your comments on what you hear at 615-737-1045. There's more in life than playing football. All right, so I'm just going to read these again.
One more time, yeah.
It's not like I need this for my life to be okay. I don't have a huge chip on my shoulder. There's more in life than playing football. So as you read the article, and as you have seen the reaction, Ramon, from different pundits everywhere, former players, analysts, people talking from team perspectives, knowing the sensitivity of the position, knowing that Jacksonville has gone all in on hiring a coach, promoting a general manager, everything they've done with this guy in mind. What does Ramon Foster, former NFL player, hear?
So it's a lot. And I've kind of been, my thoughts have been muddied a little bit because I've heard different people's perspective on what he's saying. But initially, before I got understanding from him, because as you said, you alluded to, was this. It was pulling out of context. We took excerpts from his interview and used it against him to get us more clicks, is what this paper did or what everybody is doing. Initially, my thought was this, and I wrote it down. Doesn't need money. Meaning he doesn't care about the end. He's comfortable with where he's at. The chip on the shoulder aspect was, well, he's not competitive. why are we going to draft him number one overall if he's okay with losing, is what it sounded like. And what was the last last one was?
There's more in life than playing football.
He's going to have other interests like surfing. He's going to want to do other things other than just be a football player, because we all have the belief as fans of the game, watchers of the game, former player, that you got to sell out to be successful, okay? To be a NFL quarterback. You are the head of the franchise. Yes, it's the owners, but at the end of the day, who's your quarterback? That's what they want to know. Those were the three things I took from him. Doesn't need the money. Of course, that's what everybody ties the NFL to. It's like, he doesn't need it to be successful. I was like, okay, he's not competitive. The chip on the shoulder, I just wrote an article, okay? And I talked about being undrafted and what that chip on my shoulder meant, because there's the underlying fire in me to be successful. Him, he doesn't need that way. But when you step back, Mike, and you look at what he's been for a long time, where he's been, meaning the university, he's been number one since he came out of high school, or at least top 10 since he came out of high school. Number one at Clemson since he started. Kelly Bryant, I just read an article on him over this past weekend, and he's a guy that was slated to go in and be the national championship winner.
He was it.
And had won, what was it? He was 10-2. What was his record?
He had been successful,
he
yes.
He was successful. Yes. And he knocked off Kelly Bryant. Now, here is Kelly Bryant, and there was an article that said, where is Kelly Bryant? It's not like this guy's 35, 40, 50 years old. No, this guy is still in his 20s. But where is he? Well, Trevor Lawrence is where he's at. He booted him. Now he's the quarterback for the Toronto Argonauts.
Argonauts, yeah.
He's the quarterback of the Argonauts, okay? So he successfully moved in and got a starting position as a young guy. Truth be told, he's probably been a number one draft pick ever since they saw the first game.
So I was told by an NFL person at the end of Trevor Lawrence's true freshman year that had he come out in 2019, he would have been the number one pick.
Exactly. So he has that going for him. And he also played well, won a national championship. And when you saw him play, you knew he was good. When he wasn't playing, yes, the young guy, Ugalangale?
Ugalangale, I think, is how you say it. Well done.
Thank you, man. Yes. You know, as Buck Rising texted me talking about how I messed
up Buck.
The UFC.
Ugalangale?
Yeah, Ugalangale. There we go.
Yes.
Buck, that one's for you right there. Just
Ugalangale
so you know.
To you, Buck.
But when Trevor wasn't in, they didn't win. You know, they won, but not the way they were supposed to. The offense wasn't as efficient. And yes, I know they got to, you know, switch offenses from one quarterback to another. But when Trevor Lawrence is out there, you have a really good shot at winning. It's just like with the Titans with Tannehill. When he's in that lineup now, and of course, the supporting cast around him, but Mike Keith, the phase in which Ryan Tannehill is at right now, you feel more confident with him walking inside that stadium than any other quarterback in recent history.
We can win any game we play.
Yes.
Because of the quarterback play of Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
At this moment, we walked into Green Bay in December in the snow.
Yep.
Had a lousy night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had a bad night. Did I think we could win the game that night? Yes. Because we had a quarterback. Have there been other times I have walked into stadiums like that and thought we could win?
Ooh.
No.
Not like this.
Not because when you have a quarterback,
yeah.
When you have Ben Roethlisberger, mm-hmm. when you have Peyton Manning, mm-hmm. when you have Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, you can name them.
Mm-hmm.
And at the level that Tannehill is playing at this point, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, since he became the Titans quarterback, 55 touchdowns, 13 interceptions.
Yeah.
And he can run.
And that's what I'm saying. So on the other side, the point I'm getting to is this. Trevor Lawrence, know if you have him, you walk in there with at least saying, look, he's got 8 games by himself. Well, nowadays, he's got to have 9. That's what you think of him as he continues on his career, because he's the type of guy, he's been that way since he's got at Clemson. When they walk in, they were like, we got Trevor Lawrence. Like, yeah, we got all these 5 stars, but we have Trevor Lawrence. So when you live that life,
yeah,
you can kind of make these type of comments, man. And it sucks because if somebody else says it, it may come way more disrespectful. It might knock him down a few rounds.
All right. Well, let me throw it at you 2 ways.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to play it as normal person listening to 104.5 The Zone.
Now. This is beautiful.
Man, woman, child, person going to school, whomever.
Yeah.
You hear It's not like I need this for my life to be okay. Well, that's true. Football's not everything.
No, it's not.
There is more to life. I mean, that
if I'm here right now.
Right. but I'm saying if you're listening right now, you're thinking, well, that's right. I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder. Why would he? He's been successful his whole life. He wasn't drafted number 199. No. He wasn't undrafted like Ramon Foster. I mean, this guy's a prodigy.
Yes.
He is a prodigy. Why would he have a chip on his shoulder? Makes total sense. And there's more in life than playing football. There sure is. And we see this with our former players. I love Kevin Dyson. Yeah. 23 years ago yesterday, the Titans drafted him number one.
Wow.
Had Kevin Dyson not gotten hurt in a fluke practice injury, wow. I mean, he certainly had a good NFL career. I think he would have had a great NFL career. But he is one of the best human beings that I know.
Yeah.
I'm proud to call him a friend. What he's doing in his life right now is incredibly important. Eddie George and what he's going to do at TSU. I can go down the line of our former guys like you and your former teammates. You know what I'm talking
100%.
About. 100%. There is more in life than playing football. All right. Now, wait a minute.
This is good. Okay.
Okay, so that's normal person hearing these comments. Yeah. Again, the comments totally taken out of context. If you read the whole story, you don't have an adverse reaction. I promise you. Now, if you're football guy or football girl, football person, if you're somebody who believes what Tom Brady said about you have to basically give up an organ in your body, be willing to if you're going to be successful, if you say Peyton Manning would have never said this, and he wouldn't have, ever.
Right.
Okay. It's not like I need this for my life to be okay. That's the guy you want in charge of your franchise? I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder. What are you going to do when it's the fourth quarter in Pittsburgh and they're screaming at you and you've got to take a team 80 yards? You want a guy who says that?
Yeah.
There's more in life than playing football. Well, you're getting ready to make about $50 million up front. And if it goes well, you'll make five times that and you'll make that money off the field as well. And you're telling me there's more than life in playing football? All right. So the two sides.
Yep.
All right, it's like the devil and the angel on the shoulders, like in the movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear it, does the devil who's saying all the football things outweigh the angel who's saying all the things of the normal person to Ramon Foster?
Does he outweigh it? No.
But he's a quarterback, Ramon.
Let me tell you why. We at all times ask guys to be more, do more. From social injustice to everyday camps that that guys do for kids to community service, from life skills. Walter Payton, man of the year.
Right.
Okay. You have J.J. Watt raised, was it $50 million?
Sure did.
Okay. Was that situation bigger than football?
Sure was.
Yes, it was. Okay. You have guys here that donate to communities. There's turkey drives. There's holiday drives. There's so many other things other than football, okay? And a lot of those guys might feel the exact same way. When you realize that this is a game, okay? And, yes, if I walk out, when I cross those lines, there is a switch, okay? There is a switch. And I think that's what Trevor Lawrence is saying.
Right.
And he did come back in and back up his comments.
He did.
He came back and backed up his comments because, of course, the backlash behind it. You want a guy like this that says, hey, look, it's more internal for me than it is actually for me to prove something to you. Because, again, as I was reading off earlier, I was talking about earlier his accomplishments. He's been number one coming out of high school. Number one since he started. You said a scout told you that at the end of his freshman year, had he come out,
he'd been the number one
overall pick.
Sure would.
Okay? So it may be more of this. And I'm just speaking about the sports psychology of guys, okay? Because I do this. You'll see guys talking to himself. Kumar Rocker this past weekend. He's pitching. I'm watching Tennessee versus Vandy series, okay? Friday night, he pitches. And I see him just talking, mumbling stuff to himself.
Sure.
And guess what? He's psyching himself out. I don't know what I don't know what the Tennessee guy said to him or whether it was a crowd or what. But here he is, a guy that we know is probably going to be at the lowest, number two in the MLB draft.
He's okay.
At the lowest, okay? And here's a guy talking to himself about a pitch, about trying to punch himself out of the inning, okay? And you think, okay, is he crazy or what's going on? No, he's playing the sports psychology part of the game. And you know, like I know, guys can have all the physical tools in the world. but it's the mental that gets you. Trevor Lawrence has been number one all of his life at this game of football, at the quarterback position. And we've talked about him for the last 2-3 years, and now they're talking about everybody else. So for a guy like him, and I look at the more mental side of the game more than anything. If I study you, I'm trying to see your body language. So a guy like him, he's probably downplaying this so that he does succeed.
So
I recognize that.
So we're going to take calls. We're going to talk about this further. We're certainly going to talk.
You got me going right
we're
now.
Certainly going to talk about this with Dave McGinnis. 615-737-1045. Dave McGinnis on at 8:20 this morning, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. We look forward to having him on. Also, Brad Cham, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. As we are going to focus on some teams that are going to turn the first round. Dallas has the 10th pick, and is Jerry Jones ready to do something crazy for Kyle Pitts? But when we come back, is Ramon Foster going to go crazy over the Trevor Lawrence furor, or is it false? Brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage Doors on 104.5 The Zone. This is J-Mart and Ramon. 615-737-1045, J-Mart and Ramon on a Monday morning. Glad to have you with us. Mike Keith sitting in for Jason Martin. Our program presented by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. When trust matters, you can count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Professional garage door installation and repair from a family-owned and operated business. Visit allfourseasonsgaragedoors.com/Nashville to learn more. John and Franklin, leadoff caller in this segment of the program. John, good morning, and welcome to 104.5 The Zone.
Morning, guys. So first off, Mike, I just wanted to let you know that I heard your voice on a British radio station the other day. They were doing their sports package, talking about the upcoming NFL season and everything, and in their package, they've got you hollering out touchdown Titans. I thought that was pretty cool.
Wow, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, you've gone international, Mike. What can we say? So I was talking to a fraternity brother of mine from college. His dad's a scout for a team that is not in the AFC South. And he was saying that his dad told him Trevor Lawrence could come out today and say, I'm only going to play my rookie contract and then retire, and they would still take him number one overall. Yeah. He can get away with saying anything because he's that good. And I wish other players had the same capability, the same luck that they could get away with saying how they really feel, but they don't have that luxury.
It's thank you, Mike. It's that part. A lot of guys want to. I gave you a great example of a guy that acted just like Trevor Lawrence. And when I say he's a Hall of Famer now, Troy Polamalu. He just didn't say it. But that's how Troy walked. Very faith-based.
Yes.
Very family-oriented.
Yes.
Loved the game.
Yes.
Didn't need it to prove himself, but the competitive passion that he showed was on the field. That's the thing about these comments, too. We got to separate them from what he said and what he does. On that field, like I told you before, we've seen Trevor Lawrence go, 50, 60 yards on a run. And the other quarterback is sliding. We've seen him take hits. And I'm sure you as a fan also have been like, ooh, don't take that hit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the Sean Wade hit in the semifinal game where he took it. My belief is that if you put this in context.
Yeah.
And don't just pull out the comments. Mm-hmm. It's a very different story based on what we have seen from him on the field.
Yep.
The questions, though, Lewis Riddick raising the questions, others raising the questions, is this is a quarterback.
Yeah.
And do people want to hear this from a quarterback? I respect your view on Troy Polamalu.
Yeah.
And Troy Polamalu was a pain in the Titans' rear end, and I'm so glad he's gone. I hope he's well. I hope life is good. I hope Head and Shoulders is working out for him.
In the hall.
And he deserves it. Yeah. I would have come cut his grass had he retired a year earlier just to get rid of him.
Yeah.
But, Ramon.
Yeah.
He was not a quarterback.
That's true, too.
He was not a number one pick overall.
Yeah.
He was not a guy you're going to put your franchise on. And so the question that has been asked is, because he occupies those positions, does it give a team pause? Now, what John is saying is wonderful context because he obviously has somebody that he's close to who is in NFL circles. That is wonderful context about you know, he could say that he's going to do whatever, and they would still take him number one.
100%. And that's the thing. That's the talent. Again, we have a lot of storylines this time of the year. And true enough, like you said, he's the quarterback. The quarterback, number one overall, is supposed to last how long? I mean, how long did Stafford last? 12?
Well, Matthew Stafford is, I mean, still going, and he's in Los Angeles now. They just traded their quarterback and a nice bounty of draft picks to get him at age 33.
So it is an important position.
Sure it is.
If we were supposed to, we got one more call we got to get to. If we were to name the importance of an NFL organization, a lot of people will say the owners, of course, right?
Right.
But we know that when it comes to moving the franchise, it's usually the quarterback.
I would say you could make the case, not in every situation.
Of course.
But the quarterback would be right behind the coach, general manager, the one of those who's stronger.
Yep.
Because for some teams, it's the GM and the coach is a little more interchangeable.
Very much so.
And for some teams, the coach is the strength.
Yep.
I mean, the quarterback's number three, certainly no lower than number four.
Exactly. So
Owners won. Make no mistake about that.
As far as the public perception of what's moving the organization, look at everybody speak about Dallas. Like, everybody know Jerry's the guy.
Always.
But Dak was the one that moved the needle when it comes to these wins and losses and saying, hey, the Dallas Cowboys are still what they're supposed to be, which we'll talk to.
Brad Cham.
Yes, exactly.
The voice of the Dallas Cowboys.
Beautiful.
In the 9 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny the Mailman is who we're going to talk to now at 615-737-1045.
Good morning, Kenny.
Welcome to J-Mart and Ramon. Go right ahead.
Mike, I've been waiting to talk to you, sir.
How are you, Kenny?
I am a huge radio guy. You know, a lot of times I don't even...
You're a legend, Kenny. Let's face it. You're a legend. We all know you're a legend.
Well, there's times I don't even watch on TV because I love radio so much. I'll listen to the broadcast on radio. But I didn't know till about a month ago until I heard Coach Dave speak what y'all had to go through to be one of only two, the group that covered all of the games for their team. And I just from my heart wanted to thank you for that.
Thanks,
and
Kenny.
Coach Dave said a big part of that was having a lead announcer that rolled his sleeves up. It would help drive people around, help unload equipment, even like make hotel reservations and food reservations. And I want to tell you, I am so impressed with that because nobody knew that. Nobody made you do that. And this is an era where a lot of people want doors held for them, people driving them around. And for you to serve in that capacity to help us enjoy the radio, I think, first of all, people ought to know it. And we ought to, from our heart, just say thank you. And that's from me, and y'all have a great day.
That's beautiful.
Thanks, Kenny.
Thanks, Kenny.
Well, it's an honor to serve you.
I mean,
and that's what we know is for those of us who are involved with Titans Radio, we love it. And we understand that we're there for the audience.
Yeah.
Because in certain cases, listen, if you can watch the game on TV, I don't blame you.
Right.
I mean, I understand, but at the same time, if you're out, if you're picking the kids up at ball practice.
Or coming back from a baseball tournament
on Sundays. Or coming back from a baseball tournament or cutting your grass.
Yeah.
Or you're out on a boat.
Uh-huh.
We're there for you, and we're appreciative of the opportunity to serve you in that way. So thank you for the kind comments. Very quickly, sir.
You know, as we segue into this next hour, somebody on Twitter, Cousin Sam Roosevelt, okay, at the Academy Post 4, said this about Trevor Lawrence when it comes down to questioning him. He says this, not necessarily a Lawrence fan, but remember, he led the push for college football to be played this year.
He sure did.
Led
the charge.
Well, again, say what you want to.
Again, context.
Yes.
Context is vital. It's vital when considering the Rosenberg article.
Yeah.
It's vital when you're considering things such as that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's vital when you consider that the young man is very religious and lives it and walks it. Context is important.
Yeah. We've gotten both sides.
That's the idea. And we will continue. J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.